Would you let your voice of praise out? Everyone is welcome. Everyone's encouraged. Let your voice of praise be heard today. Lord God, you are holy. You are righteous. You are true. You are faithful. We magnify you. Together, we lift you up. We lift you up, Lord Jesus. He is a holy God. Amen. Meaning set apart in and of himself. He is holy. And I was thinking the previous chorus, singing to the one who sits on the throne, that is the one holy God, and unto the Lamb. And our praise, if you'll think of it, our worship is rooted in his holiness, who he is. But that Lamb represents our salvation. And were it not for a holy God having mercy on us, none of us would be in this house today. I'm glad to know him as the holy God who saves, the holy God who has mercy, the holy God who has compassion. And if you're thankful for the day, the hour that Jesus Christ changed your life, would you let out a voice of thanksgiving? He's holy. He's holy. And he's our means of redemption today. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me, who forgives all my iniquity, who heals all my diseases. Blessed be the Lord God Almighty. Now I'm thankful for the Holy Spirit, emphasis intended, that he is pouring out upon everybody that wants it. The Holy Spirit in our lives makes the difference, doesn't it? And what a joy to be in God's presence and with one another. And we're going to look to the word of the Lord together. I have just one verse of scripture to read, but before doing that, rather than read a lengthy passage, I thought I'd give you just a little background into this. Before doing that, though, I do want to reiterate, we're glad for all of our guests that are with us today in the house of the Lord. Appreciate that. If you are our first-time guest and haven't yet checked by the reception desk, we've got a little gift for you. I'd like to become acquainted just to let you know we're glad you came. And so please do that on your way out if you haven't already. And as was noted, our pastor is away today only because his nephew got married on Friday night in the Kansas City area. And I'm told all went well with the wedding, no glitches or anything. And he is preaching by invitation at the church there in Blue Springs where Brother Huckabee is the pastor. So be praying for them. They'll be heading their way back. And, of course, we'll be back with us for service on Wednesday. So do keep them in your prayers. In his absence, I am privileged to bring the word of the Lord to you. And the latter chapters of Deuteronomy in the Old Testament give final instructions to the people of Israel before they went into what is known as Canaan or the Promised Land. And in the verses prior to the one that I'm going to read, Moses, their leader, informed them that he was not going to cross the Jordan River with them and enter the Promised Land. God was not permitting him to do that. But he gives them this assurance that they could face the future, whatever it held, knowing that God was with them. And ultimately, even though they were going to face opposition and various obstacles in this land of Canaan, he said, ultimately, you are going to triumph over it all because God is with you. And specifically in Deuteronomy 31:6, this reads, Moses' words to his people, be strong and of good courage. Do not fear nor be afraid of them. That is the opposition, the obstacles they'd encounter. For the Lord your God, anybody have him as your God today? The Lord your God, he is the one who goes with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you. And in this, what could be considered still relatively new year of 2019, I have this simple message for us. Facing the future with God. Facing the future with God. It looks to me like someone had a tilted keyboard when they typed that. It wasn't me. But facing the future with God. Whatever the future holds, know this, we can be sure we don't face it alone. We don't face it alone. The prophet said of Jesus before he was born that his name would be called Emmanuel, which being interpreted is what? God with us. Can I remind us that Jesus is not just God with us on Christmas, but he's God with us all year long. He's God with us all lifelong. He'll never leave nor forsake. He said, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the age. So you and I may not know what the future holds. In the words of one author, it might be the best of times, it might be the worst of times. But this much we know, God is with us. He, the Lord your God, goes with you. He's not going to be hard to find, not going to be difficult to locate. He's going with you into your future, whatever it holds. And my prayer for this message is quite simple. I'm going to ask you to join me in praying it. I just want God to build our faith today and undergird our trust and our confidence that He is with us. And I'd like for every one of us to leave here, in the words of Moses, strong and of good courage. Strong and of good courage. I know that's easier said than done, depending on circumstances. But with God's intervention today, with His blessing and anointing, we can leave here strong and of good courage. Would you pray with me to that end today that God would do this? Lord Jesus, I thank You for Your presence today, a holy presence that's flooding this house. Thank You for Your word now that gives us this message, this instruction. And I do pray that faith would be built up, that trust would be undergirded and strengthened, and that we would leave here strong in spirit, courageous in spirit, not in ourselves, but because we know You're going with us. Whatever the future holds, You are going to be with us throughout every step of it. And we thank You for that. Let us leave here with that confidence and assurance. Today I pray in Jesus' name. And everyone said amen. Thanks for standing and praying. You can be seated. Several years ago, I attended a Missouri District United Pentecostal Church Ministers Conference. In fact, it was hosted at our old location that we fondly know of as 13th and Gravois. Some of you attended the church in those years. And this was quite a few years ago, and we were hosting it. And I remember, for whatever reason, Brother Thomas, I was in the sound booth that day. I have no clue why, but I was back there, I guess acting like I knew what I was doing. And they were discussing various issues at these meetings. They sometimes have elections and then sometimes discuss what are called resolutions or points of business. And I don't even remember what it was being discussed, but Brother W.C. Parkey, who had been the president of Gateway College for 3 of my 4 years there and was now pastoring in Poplar Bluff, he stood and asked to be recognized to speak on this issue. And in the course of talking about it, he made reference to the vicissitudes of life. And if you're like me, hearing that for the first time, I had no idea what he was talking about. Never knew there was such a word. So I made a note of it and later looked it up and discovered that it means the successive, alternating, or changing conditions or phases of life. We probably would have said ups and downs of life, right? Or highs and lows. I don't know why Brother Parkey didn't say it that way. I would have known immediately what he meant. But he chose vicissitudes, and I'm kind of glad he did, because I learned something that particular day that has stayed with me. And on a very somber note, you don't have to live a long time to realize that life brings changes. Life is not static. It's not sterile. We don't live it in a clean, uncontaminated laboratory, do we? Where the environment is controlled. But to be rather blunt, life can be messy. Life can be unpleasant. Life is not always the ideal that we dream of as kids. Or for that matter, at whatever season of life we're in, we might have certain expectations or anticipation for the future. But it doesn't always go according to plan, does it? Things can be going ever so well. And those of you that have lived a while, you know this to be true. They can be going ever so well, and then wham, all of a sudden, everything changes. Just takes one phone call, doesn't it? Just takes one test result from a doctor. Just takes one notice from an employer, and everything changes. But whatever the vicissitudes of life, whatever the changing conditions that we face, know this, we face them with a faithful God. He is with you, and He is not going anywhere. You face the future with God. If the coming year or some portion of the future results in loneliness, as it did for Joseph, abandoned by his family in Egypt, hear me today, God is with you. If this coming year registers loss for you, as it did for Job of old, God is with you. If you find it brings personal rejection, as Samuel encountered when Israel didn't want him as their leader anymore, hear it today, God is with you. If the future holds disappointment on any level, as it did for Elijah at one point, God is with you. Whatever the changing conditions, whatever the future may hold for you, the constant in the life of the believer is this, the presence of God. That's the constant for you. That's what you can rely on. And please don't underestimate the magnitude of that truth today. I know it sounds so simple. It's even a simple statement, easily said, God is with you. And you can just hear that and maybe go in one ear and out the other. But don't underestimate the magnitude of that. God is with you. Don't underestimate the meaning of that. The deep impact. God is with you. God and everything He is. God and everything that He can do. He is with you. Despite whatever the future may hold. He's not going to leave you comfortless. He's not going to leave you by yourself or without His presence. You face the future with God. And that's very significant because as Matthew's gospel tells us, with God, all things are possible. Matthew 19:26, if you need the reference. With God, all things are possible. Now, in the strictest sense, that verse is telling us God can do anything, right? He can do anything. He can supernaturally deliver. He can deliver us from our sinful nature through His power. He can deliver us out of threatening circumstances, whether it's literal or figurative. He can deliver us from habits, addictions, anything that might bind us. He can supernaturally heal. He can supernaturally provide for us in a way of His choosing. God can do anything. With God, all things are possible. But today, I want to focus on this verse in perhaps a little different way and present this meaning that with God alongside, it's possible to be victorious in the struggles of life. We're not always kept from problems, are we? We're not always delivered out of difficult circumstances, but going through them with God, it is possible. Hear this today, it's possible to be victorious in the struggles of life. When the children of Israel got out of Egypt after years of slavery, about 400 years as a people, one generation after the next, you would think they had it made. You would think that no more problems, no more difficulties, they're free of Egypt and on to the promised land. But they didn't have a problem-free journey after leaving Egypt. But they made it with God. With God, they crossed the parted Red Sea on dry ground. In the wilderness in which they had to wander with God, they were led by a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. With God, they found water in a rock. With God, they came out of their tents 6 of 7 days of the week and found what was called manna on the ground to sustain them. And at another point, quail fell from the sky to feed them. With God, their clothes lasted 40 years. Some of the moms of elementary kids said, if only, right? But this all happened because God was with them. And if you're here today and don't know the Bible that well and all those Bible stories, let me just sum it up this way. With God, you can survive. With God, you can overcome. With God, you can be victorious, whatever the vicissitudes, whatever the changing conditions of life. Our journey today, of course, is not literal as was with Israel, but our journey is spiritual. But the message is just as true. With God, you can make it. With God, you can prevail. With God, you can surmount all the obstacles. With God, it's possible to endure affliction. Now, I don't know one of us that wants to go through affliction, but if we do, we can survive it. We can go through it. Despite trouble and torment, pain and suffering, we can get through it. With God, you see, we have a different perspective on affliction, don't we? The Apostle Paul, when he was going through a lot of difficulties with just a bunch of things, I'll summarize it that way. I don't think the Bible puts it quite like that. But a bunch of things were going on in his life, but here was his outlook. All this affliction is light. In the back of his mind, being human, he's probably thinking, yeah, right, but here he was, light. But here's the deal, compared to an eternal weight of glory. What I'm going through isn't fun, isn't pleasant whatsoever. I wish I did not have to. But when I get a perspective of what awaits me, if I'll be true to God, if I'll be loyal to Him and follow Him, it's an eternal weight of glory. And so I can say the afflictions of this life are light. So today, maybe the key for you is to ask God to help you adjust your outlook a little bit. Your perspective on things. No, it's not pleasant. I'm not downplaying that today. But help yourself and let God help you to have a completely different perspective on this Sunday morning. The affliction really, when you think about what awaits you, is rather light. The eternal weight of glory. With God, it's possible to endure affliction. With God, it's possible to withstand hardship. Even if that hardship is as a result of your choice to live for God. It's no secret that when you and I choose to serve Jesus Christ, in effect, what happens, we draw a line in the sand, don't we? And it's not that we're better than people or that we're anything special. It's just that we've made a decision to serve Jesus Christ, and it puts us on the opposite side of this world system. It puts us on the opposite side of much of the values of people, even in our own nation, including this world. It's just a different way of thinking, a different way of living. We've drawn that line. And because of that line being drawn, sometimes there are hardships. Sometimes there are difficulties that we encounter. It's what happened to the Hebrew boys in the Old Testament, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Their choice to refuse to bow before a golden image and be loyal to God cost them some hardship. They were punished by being put in a furnace heated 7 times hotter than normal. But notice this, when they got into the fire, God was with them, and they walked through the fire unharmed. Now, thank God we're not looking at a literal furnace, but some of you are in that furnace figuratively today. I want you to know God is with you. He's walking through the fire, and as Isaiah prophesied, you'll go through the fire, and it shall not burn you. It shall not harm you. With God, it's possible to endure hardship. Daniel had a similar situation, refused to violate his conscience and would not do what he was told to do in opposition to his faith. And so he spent a night in a lion's den. But you know that story, came out unharmed. The answer to the king's inquiry, "Oh Daniel, is thy God able to deliver you?" He said, "Oh king, live forever. My God has sent his angel to stop the mouth of the lions." Again, thankfully, we're not facing a literal den of lions, but some of you are in the middle of that. But let God shut their mouths. What do you say? Just have faith and confidence. He is with you. With God, it's possible to resist temptation. With God, you can rise above the enticements of sin, even distractions from spirituality. And let me pause here to say that if you've not been delivered from a sinful nature with which we're all born, only Jesus Christ can set you free from that. Only Jesus Christ can set you free. He came for the purpose of saving us. That's why he went to a cross and was allowed himself to be crucified. His innocent blood was shed for us, and it's only through our faith in Jesus Christ and the blood that he shed. That's the atonement for our sin. We can't atone for our own sin, can we? We have to put faith in Jesus Christ. And through a water baptism in Jesus' name, and through a spirit baptism of being filled with the Holy Spirit, our lives are revolutionized, we're changed, we're made a new creation, old things pass away. Anybody know what I'm talking about? And all things become new. Thanks be to Jesus Christ. That's the only way to have your life change. That's the only way to be set free from sin. And so I'll sum it up by saying this. If you want to live for God, you can live for God. If you want to serve Him, if you want to please Him, you can do it. It's possible to resist temptation. I know this unholy world appeals to our human nature, but with God, we can refuse to give in to it. And I'll say this, not to excuse anything, but even in times when we might fail and give in to our desires, there's still a process whereby we can get right and go on. We can get right. The scripture says, don't sin, but if you do, we've got an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. His blood will cleanse you from all sin. He's faithful and just to forgive us from all sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. With God, it's possible to resist temptation. And it's also possible with God to win the battles of life. Anybody know that life has battles sometimes? But But with God, it's possible. Hear what Isaiah prophesied. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. In other words, nothing, no weapon is going to be successful, is going to work in defeating you. It might knock you around a little bit and hurt you some and wound you here and there, but you're not going down for the count. You're not going to be defeated. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. Despite being outnumbered and overwhelmed, despite having a slim chance of success, I want you to know, with God, you can be victorious. When the Midianites came against Israel, a multitude of them, notice it was with God that Gideon and 300 men, armed, are you ready for this? Lamps, trumpets, and pitchers. That's what they were armed with, but they defeated the Midianites. When 1,000 Philistines came against Samson, with God, he was able to slay every one of them. When Goliath challenged Israel, it was with God that a young shepherd, inexperienced, untrained, ill-equipped with just a sling and a stone, he took down Goliath because God was with him. You can win the battles of life with God. In 2 Chronicles chapter 20, several nations united against Israel. And I noticed in the scripture, it does say nations, plural. And isn't it seemingly the case that when one problem comes, he always has a bunch of buddies. And they like to pile up. When I describe my childhood, I like to say, for the sake of the young people, times were simpler then. But I remember us, we used to play out in the neighborhood all the time. None of this electronic gadgetry and so forth and so on. Don't get me started. I'm kidding. But we'd go outside and play. We needed to be home at 5 for supper. And then in the summertime, we were back out till dark, right? But we went up to Marty Eckert's house. He had one of the larger houses on the block. And his dad also had a side lot. It wasn't developed. I don't know why, unless one was built there years ago and had been taken down. But anyway, it was quite an area. And that's a lot of times where we would hang out, play. And we would do, I forget even how it went, but there were times when we would, I guess a couple of guys would wrestle. If I remember, sometimes in the fall, we'd pile up the leaves, and a couple of guys would be wrestling, and then at one point, it would be yelled, pile on! And that was the signal for everybody else just to pile on those two guys. I told you, times were simpler. You guys try this sometime. No, don't do this at home unless you're a professional like me. But that was it. Or maybe the pile of leaves would be there and we'd just all be in a circle and pile on, And if you were on the bottom of that pile, with 5 or 6 of your buddies over you, you were, as it says of Israel, powerless. Several nations came against Israel and it says they were powerless. And if you were on the bottom of that pile on Marty Eckert's side lot there, you were powerless. Israel was on their own. In and of themselves, they could not do a thing. And so Jehoshaphat, the leader, sought guidance from God. Smart man, right? Says he called a fast. In our words, he went to church and prayed. Did everything he knew to do. And then, as Jehoshaphat was considering what to do, the Spirit of the Lord came on a Levite who had a message from God. And this message is found for us in Second Chronicles 20. And it starts out, the Levite starts speaking, and he says this, listen. Now that's a key word right there. Listen. Before I even get to the message, let me make sure I've got your attention. Let me make sure you're listening. My granddaughter, Ava Kate, likes for me to play school with her. In fact, even on Saturdays, and I point out to her that you don't have school on Saturdays, but it doesn't matter to her. We have to play school. And when I'm at times sitting cross-legged on her bedroom floor and she's up on the bed where the teacher is supposed to be and teaching me, sometimes my attention wanders. Sometimes it wanders on purpose, I'll admit. But when it happens, she catches me and says, you're not listening. And she gives me a 0 instead of a 1 for bad behavior. And she's right, typically. I've let my mind wander. Well, can I, in all seriousness, say we gotta listen. When God speaks, listen. That's the start of it all. He said, listen, all you of Judah and inhabitants of Jerusalem and King Jehoshaphat. In other words, everybody, listen. Give me your attention. Thus says the Lord to you, do not be afraid nor dismayed because of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God. Somebody listen to that. It doesn't say worry about it. Doesn't say fear, does it? Doesn't say hyperventilate. Doesn't say faint. Doesn't say surrender. But the man of God, the Levite, said, listen. Thus says the Lord God to you, do not be afraid nor dismayed because of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. He goes on, you will not need to fight in this battle. I love this language. Position yourselves, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord, who is, you ready? With you. With you. Do not fear or be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord is with you. God is with you. If you're not in a battle today, thank God for that. You ought to just tuck away this truth in your mind and heart for future reference. The Lord is with you. Whatever the future holds, God is going to be with you. But if you are in a battle, can I say again, listen. Not again worry or fear or faint or surrender, but listen. Be of strong courage today, for the Lord your God is with you. The psalmist said, the Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do unto me? So when the problems are piling up, you just remind yourself, the Lord is on my side. And if I'm at the bottom of the stack, some way, somehow, he can get me out of it. Some way, somehow, it's going to be possible for me to be victorious. If there's trouble everywhere you look, you remind yourself, the Lord is on my side. You remind yourself that the Lord is with me. I face the future with God. And the next day, Jehoshaphat, because when it told him to stand still, it didn't mean be inactive. It just meant perk up, listen, you know, gather yourselves and know that God's talking. But then it said, in their case, tomorrow you're going to act. And so Jehoshaphat gathers the troops for battle on the next day, and he gets his frontline battalion together and says, you're going out first. And can't you imagine those big husky guys saying, all right, we're ready, ready, ready. Give us our weapons. No weapons. You just go out praising God. If it had been me, I think I'd have been looking for the back of the line and courteously saying, oh, no, no, you go ahead. You go ahead. You go ahead. I'll hang back a little bit. But they were sent into the battle praising God. Sent into the battle worshiping the one true God of Israel. And they acknowledged God by doing so, that he was on their side. As they went forth saying praises to God and offering worship to him in the midst of the battle, they were acknowledging the Lord is on our side. And when they got to the battle, God caused the enemies to turn on each other. Don't you love it when God turns the tables on the enemy? Turned everything around, and when Israel got there, they found, as had been prophesied, the battle was already won. And it took them, note this, 3 days to gather up the plunder. 3 days to gather the spoils of all those nations, what they had left behind, because they had slain one another. And they called that area the Valley of Blessing. What looked to be a valley of death for them because they were outnumbered turned into a valley of blessing. And I couldn't but help but think of the words of David, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? Because thou art with me. There's the difference, child of God. There's the difference, follower of the Lord. God is with you. If you're walking through the valley of the shadow of death, know this, God is with you. Be strong and of good courage, for the Lord your God, he's the one that goes with you today. If your future seems all uncertain and you don't have answers, maybe you had a plan and it's all been turned upside down, hear it today, be strong and of good courage, for the Lord your God goes with you. If you don't have answers, if things look bleak, be strong and of good courage, for the Lord your God goes with you. I know there are members of our congregation recently, and even in the past year, your world has been turned upside down. But hear this simple message. Listen today. The Lord your God goes with you. Oh, be strong. Be of good courage today, for the Lord your God goes with you. If you're facing ill health, be strong and of a good courage, for the Lord your God goes with you. If you're under a financial strain today, be strong and of good courage, for the Lord your God goes with you. Somebody listen. Somebody take it into your spirit today and know it to be true. Spiritually, we just need to flex our muscle. This is a perfect illustration because I've got the weakest muscles in the joint. In fact, One of my daughters once said that if Melody and I ever got in a fight, her money was on her mom. How's that for support? So I know you could take me down. Although I do remember years ago in El Salvador, I was on a missions trip. I need to take my arm down and relax. On a missions trip, and at the end of it, the crusades were over, all the outreach, thousands had received the Holy Ghost, and we just met as a group for a little pizza party at someone's house that had a swimming pool. And some of the guys in the group thought it would be fun to throw Brother Reaver, clothes and all, into the swimming pool. But there was one problem. Brother Reaver did not want to go into the swimming pool with his full clothes on, or anything for that matter. And so they grabbed me. They had me outnumbered. They were stronger than me. I'm telling you, this is not my, I don't have the guns, I'll tell you. Is that what they say? I don't know what they say. Is that what they say? Okay. I always have to consult my youth guy here. They do that, really? Sincerely? Call it guns? Or are you just making this up? Okay. I've heard that. Show me the guns or something. Is that right, Lorenzo? Okay. Thank you, Lorenzo. I know you're a body ninja dude or whatever. Where was I? Oh, they grabbed me. Brother Reaver didn't want to go in the pool. Flailing, kicking, twisting, turning as they were carrying me off to that pool, and I was able to land an elbow into the guy who had the best grip on me. And when that loosened, I was gone. And I did not go into the swimming pool. Moral of that story, don't mess with me. No, I'm kidding. But on a somber note, we need to flex muscles, don't we? Because this can't do it. But with God. With God, bring it on, right? With God, let's go. With God, I can do this. With God, all things are possible. It's not fun. I'm going to get down in the mud and grappling. But with God, I'm going to twist, turn, flail. I'm going to somehow get through this with God. That's the difference for us today. Somebody, you ought to come out ahead of your battle just praising Him. Just worshiping Him. I know it doesn't make sense. I know it doesn't add up. I know it seems odd, but you ought to come out of your battle just praising God. I acknowledge the Lord is on my side. The Lord is with me. The Lord is going to see me through. Somebody ahead of your battle, would you offer your worship? Would you offer your praise? Would you offer your adoration? Come on, declare His presence. Declare His presence through your worship right now. Come on, declare, God is with me. God is with me. I'm facing the future with God. Something tells me with every praise, you're going to get stronger. With every hallelujah, with every praise God, you're going to get stronger in His presence. With every act of worship, you're going to be more courageous because you're declaring the Lord is on my side. With God, I can face the future and know I'm not alone. I'm not alone. In Isaiah, the 41st chapter in the 10th verse, I think I have this on the screen. I wanted you to see it. It says, fear not, for I am with you. Again, listen. God's words to His people. Fear not, I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am the Lord your God. And notice what He says now. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous hand, my right hand. Now notice, God promises in those verses, in that verse, look how emphatic it is. Look how certain and absolute. He says, I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. He promises, I'm going to strengthen, I'm going to help, and I'm going to uphold. He is with you. Somebody today, listen, and then go to the next level and believe God. Believe God and His word. He never changes. His promises are sure, and He is not going to fail. So somebody today, listen. Listen, and I encourage you, as strange as it may seem, you ought to come out ahead of your battle just praising Him. For in your worship, you're saying plainly, the Lord is on my side. I can't do this on my own. I've got so many questions about the future. I don't have the solutions. My world has been rocked. But would you come out praising today? Would you come out worshiping ahead of the battle? God promises He's going to strengthen. He's going to help, and he's going to uphold if you'll come praising him. You can face the future today with confidence. God's not going to leave you. God's not going to leave you. He's not loosened his hold on you. It may feel that way at times, but he has not loosened his hold. You face the future with God. God is not unaware of your problems through inattention or his mind wandering like mine does with Ava Kate sometimes. God's not that way. You face the future with God. His eye is on you. He's thinking about you. He's aware of what's going on in your life. You may face the future without the support of family and friends. I don't know. But God is with you. Neighbors, co-workers, maybe they've turned their backs on you to some degree. But God is with you. Whatever the future holds, God is with you. And here's the message. Be strong and have good courage, for the Lord your God goes with you. Come on, be strong. Let that rise in your spirit. Be of good courage, for the Lord your God goes with you. Somebody today, you ought to lift your hands by faith right now where you're seated. And just offer worship. Offer worship to your God. This is your simple way of saying, God, I know you're with me. I know you're with me. I know you're on my side. That's right. That's right. And I'm wrapping this up, so if you feel at any point just to stand to your feet and continue that worship, you're welcome to do it. God is with you. God is with you. Be strong and have good courage, for the Lord your God goes with you. You've got those hands raised. Why don't you let out your voice to match them and call out. Let your voice go heavenward. Let your voice go upward. You're not saying it out loud to be heard by others. It's declaration to God. I know you're on my side. I know you're with me. I know you're here. I know that you're going to come through. Blessed be the Lord. Blessed be the Lord. Blessed be the Lord. If there's somebody that wants to come out ahead of your battle to the front of this building worshiping God, you have that opportunity right now. You've got that chance here and now. If you want to come praising, come worshiping. Again, it feels odd and strange and counterintuitive, but oh, there's something powerful in your praise. There's something powerful in your worship today. There's something powerful in getting out ahead of the battle. Acknowledging God, praising God, glorifying God. Come on, he alone. He alone is your answer. He alone is your solution. He alone will never forsake you. He's always with you. He's always with you. He's always with you. He's always with you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Have faith in God. Have faith in God. Have faith in God today. And know that he is with you. He is with you. The disciples, after the crucifixion of Jesus, were fearful and uncertain about their future. They didn't know exactly what was going to happen. But after the resurrection of Jesus, I'm just going to summarize this and not go into details. But Jesus showed up in their midst. They were hiding for fear of public authorities. But Jesus showed up, and here's what happened when he showed up. There was hope. There was possibility for the future. There was guidance for the future. There were answers. So if you're apprehensive about your future, I'm asking simply, like, what better thing than to put your future into his hands? You don't have all the answers, and you may leave this building without everything clear to you, but what better thing to do but put the future in God's hands and trust him? In Exodus 33, and I close with this, and the rest of you, if you want to come and seek God, you can. But in Exodus 33, Moses prayed, God, show me the way. He was looking to the future. He said, Lord, I want to know the way. And here was God's answer. My presence shall go with you. No details, no specifics, just my presence shall go with you. And to the credit of Moses, he responded, Lord, if you don't go with us, I'm not interested in going. If I don't have your presence, I can't survive, he was saying. You've got to be with us. And if that's your feeling today, if you want to commit your future to God, I invite you to come around the front with these other praisers and worshipers and just commit your future into God's hands. Tell the Lord in your own words, if you don't go, I can't go. If you're not with me, I'm not going to survive. Would you come all around the front of this building? If you don't have a particular battle, that doesn't keep you from praising your God. That doesn't keep you from joining others in worship. Why don't you come today and commit your future into the hands of God? Let him know you're trusting him. Let him know you believe in him today.